Welcome to the Christian Gospel Center. We believe you are about to be impacted by this message of faith and hope. If there is anything that we can do to help you get connected into the church, or if you'd like more information about who we are, please head to thegospelcenter.com.
I want to talk tonight about embracing the Lord of the breakthrough. Embracing. You know, one of the things I like to do in the morning is embrace my wife and give her a good morning kiss. Say good morning to you. As I leave the house, I like to give her another embrace. See you tonight, dear. And when I get home, I like to give her a warm embrace as well. But God likes himself to be embraced as well, because he's already embraced us in his love, and he wants us to embrace him and take hold of his words. I was reading a quote by Martin Luther King Jr. the other day, and it said this: faith is taking the first step when you don't see the whole staircase. You know, if you're expecting a breakthrough, God's expecting you to take a step towards your breakthrough. We can sit all day long, we can gaze at our navels, you know, have a belly button gazing day. But God's not going to break through if that's all we're going to do. I want to encourage us tonight that the closer you and I get to God, as individuals, as families, as a church, the closer we will be to our breakthrough. The closer we get to God, the closer we are into getting our breakthrough. How do I know this? Because the Lord is the Lord of the breakthrough. If you've got your Bibles tonight, 1 Chronicles. 1 Chronicles chapter 14. I'm reading from the New Living Translation tonight. One Chronicles chapter 14. I want to read verses 10 and 11. It says, "So David asked God, 'Should I go out to fight the Philistines? Will you hand them over to me?' And the Lord replied, 'Yes, go ahead. I will hand them over to you.' So David and his troops went up to Baal Perazim and defeated the Philistines there." "God did it," David exclaimed. "He used me to burst through my enemies like a raging flood." So they named that place Baal Perazim, which means the Lord who bursts through. 1 Chronicles chapter 14, verses 10 and 11. Didn't I give you the reference? Sorry. I thought I did several times, but that's okay. Thank you, Caroline. I appreciate that. Okay, that's all right. I want you to look up a couple of verses. That'll be in 1 Chronicles 14, verse 8. Smiling. "When the Philistines heard that David had been anointed king over Israel, they mobilized..." How many of their forces? Bible says all their forces to capture him. "But David was told they were coming, so he marched out to meet them. The Philistines arrived and made a raid in the valley of Rephaim. When the Philistines heard," watch the wording here, "that David had been anointed king." There's a difference between being appointed and being anointed. Do you know tonight that you're anointed of God, not appointed of God? I want you to grab hold of that tonight. If you hear nothing else tonight, I want you to know that you're anointed of God. But sometimes I see in history, and I hear this often across my desk and in the community I live in, that people are looking for a breakthrough. Everyone's looking for a breakthrough somewhere. But they're doing it without first seeking the Lord. And this is why this passage just leaps out at me. They may need a turnaround in their finances, their health, their family, their emotions. They're seeking a breakthrough by their own strength and by their own ingenuity. But can I say this from experience? An approach like this nearly always ends in frustration. Not because God doesn't want you to have a breakthrough, but because He wants you to receive it from Him. Amen? As a loving, caring Father, He wants to impart into His children the breakthrough that we need. King David, other biblical heroes, discovered that God was their source of a few things. A majority of things. King David and other Bible heroes discovered that God was their source of every blessing and every breakthrough. Amen? Can I put blessings and breakthroughs together tonight? Because God is the God of the breakthrough. Remember you when you were sin? When you were a sinner? Did it take gentle Jesus, meek and mild, to get to you? Or was there a breakthrough? Was there a stubbornness that had to stand aside? Was there resistance that had to let go? Was there doubt, unbelief, fear, whatever it was, that had to move out the way? What I suggest tonight, for you to, in order to receive the blessing, there had to be a breakthrough in your life, in your belief system, in your level of faith, in your level of understanding. King David was a shepherd boy, we know that. He discovered early in his job as a shepherd boy that sheep do not survive very long on their own. Amen? If you've ever had anything to do with sheep, you understand why. They needed a shepherd. Both to lead them to provision and also to rescue them from danger. David the shepherd boy writes Psalm 23 verse 1. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Why does he say that? Because he's got an understanding of how good the Lord has been to him, and how good the Lord is to him, and how good the Lord will be to him if he stays connected. Amen? But David also recognized, friends, that he himself had a role in that achieving, in that seeking of the favor and the blessing of God. In Psalm 34 and verse 10, it says, those who seek the Lord, anyone know the rest of the scripture? Shall not lack any good thing. Those who what? Seek the Lord shall not, doesn't say might not, may not, it says shall not, come on, lack any good thing. He saw that whatever breakthrough he needed, his real need was to seek the Lord first. He had a seek the Lord need before he had to seek the breakthrough need. Amen? The good news, friends, tonight is the Lord of the breakthrough beckons us likewise to draw near to Him. James 4 and verse 8, and I used this the other day in a counseling session. Draw near to God, and He will draw near to you. Who makes the first step? We do. Why do we do that? Because He's already made Himself available to us. He doesn't sit up there on His throne with His arms crossed, does He, Tony? Go, well, when you're ready, Tony, you come to me. He said, I've reached out into your humanity. I've offered you eternal life with me. I've offered you power and authority on earth. I believe the scripture was quoted this morning. Come unto me, all you who are weary and heavy laden. And what? I'll give you a hard time. Jesus said, no, I will give you rest. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. But David writes, Those who seek the Lord shall not lack any good thing. James writes, draw near to God and he will draw near to you. And the Bible says when we come boldly into the throne room of grace, Hebrews 4 and verse 16, we will find grace to help in the time of need. Know the scripture? Let us come boldly and with confidence under the throne of grace. What are we at the throne of grace for? Here's a tricky question. It's the throne of grace. That's a hint. We're after his grace, aren't we? We're after his mercy. We're after his understanding. We're after his sense of justice. We're after him, the giver of all good things, to give us grace in that time of need. Again, God doesn't sit there and say, well, Pauline, love to help you, sweetheart, but it's been a while. Haven't seen you in church for weeks. You're not talking to me like you used to. You're not even reading like you used to. Listen, I'm busy for the next 15 years, but if you can come back then. Does he say that? What does he say to you, Dean? He said, come in, son. Let's talk. Amen? Ask the question tonight, what resources do you need from heaven today? More love? More power? More authority? Peace? More provision? All of the above? Honest answer to all of us would be yes. And much more. And you know what the beauty of it is? It's available when you draw near to the Lord of breakthroughs today. Build up a relationship with someone. You draw near to someone. You create strength of character in those connections. Who do you go to if you're in a place of need? The place of the deepest and closest connections. No good ringing up my old primary school friends and say, hey, Marty, do you remember me? Grade 5 it was. Yeah, Mrs. Wheezy. Yeah, you remember? Listen, buddy, I'm in a bit of a jam. I only need $5,000, clunk. I'm using money as an example, but how often do we think that we've got a need and we can just outsource it from anywhere? We sort of go down the list, the checklist. Who we can go to first? If that doesn't work, we keep working down. Where's God in our list? If he's number one, we don't have to go any further. We don't have to rely on man, we rely on God. So let's, over the next few minutes, talk about the battle for your breakthrough, because a breakthrough is not going to come in easily. It's not going to come in without a war. It's not going to come in without doing something towards it. The prime example comes out of here in this passage in 1 Chronicles. The Philistines heard that David had been anointed king, so they sought to capture him. Now, I'm thinking capture, they want to sit down over a latte and have a bit of a chat under the shade of the tent and, you know, perhaps share a McDonald's meal and, you know, say goodnight, see you later. I don't think the Philistines were the sort of guys that would just hang around the opposition and say, we need to talk. Their idea of capture with it, off with his head, let's parade the head, let's say we're victorious, you're without a king now, you're our slaves. I love the way the Lord opens up the way for the breakthrough to come. Let's come back to our passage, 1 Corinthians 14, Chronicles, my apologies, thank you for that. 1 Chronicles 14, it says that the Philistines mobilized all their forces to capture him. There's that three-letter word that I love in the Bible. It says, but. I love it when it says, but God. But in this case, but God allowed but David to find out what was going on. And he didn't say to David, go back home, sit under your tent, plan a strategy if you need it, but leave it up to me. Trust me, everything's going to be okay. This is with David's response when he was told they were coming. It says, so he marched out to meet them. He didn't run away and hide. He didn't head back to the cave, Adullam. But he says he went out to meet them. I don't know what David's forces were at the time, but all the Philistines had come together to capture him. And David, in his boldness, in his strength, in the anointing that he's operating under, goes out, and I love this wording, to meet them. The Philistines arrive. So who's there first? David and his mighty men. David and the men of God, ready to face the battle in order to create a breakthrough that will not only benefit them, but benefit the whole tribe of Israel. Friends, it's important to recognize that breakthroughs seldom come without some sort of battle. In actual fact, the root word for breakthrough was first used as a military term to signify an offensive thrust past the defensive lines of warfare. Think about that. A military term to signify an offensive thrust, you're on the attack, past the defensive lines of warfare. Not into, but past. We're not just going to stop there and fight, we're going through. When the Light Horse Brigade decided to take Jerusalem back, the Light Horse Brigade were told it was impossible. The defences around Jerusalem were strong. The guns were heavy. The cannons were huge. You'll never get through. So the British backed off. The Aussies stepped up. The Light Horse Brigade, the charge of the Light Brigade, it's a famous part of our history, mounted those steeds, mounted those horses, and rode through. And when the cannons started missing them because they were too close, the machine guns come in at close range. Did they stop? Did they turn around? Did they run back cowardly with their tail between their legs? No, they rode through. They had a breakthrough on the defensive lines and they took Jerusalem for freedom. The word breakthrough enters a realm of common speech around our technological age. And it's used commonly to describe a sudden discovery or a sudden invention. You know, scientists today had a breakthrough. Red meat is no longer healthy for you. Stop eating cows. News of today. Scientists have had a breakthrough. Red meat is so good for you. We need to go out and start eating some more cows. You know, breakthrough after breakthrough after breakthrough. Man walking on the moon was a breakthrough. Technology, as we know it today, is a breakthrough. But I want to say today that God first used the word in the Word, in the Bible. And he named himself the Lord of the breakthrough, a military term. Amen? It's a military context, and it involves King David. Know King David? Years before, had conquered that little guy, Goliath. You know, that little pygmy man, dwarf. Now David, in this passage, is preparing to do battle again. Not just any battle, he's battling that Philistine army. You know when you've got a grudge match happening? You've beaten the team before, and there's a rematch. And you beat them again, and there's a rematch. And every time you face each other, there's that history of, you beat us last time, but you're not going to beat us this time. I sense in this passage and leading up to it, that the Philistines were out to make their point against this little shepherd boy, who at the age of 17, knocked off their giant and his brothers, and sent them all running, and now he's king, we're going to show him what for. Amen? David's preparing to do battle again. And interesting enough, it's not far away from when he fought that battle against Goliath. Interesting, isn't it? This time, the Philistines are gathered in the Valley of Rephaim, which means the Valley of Giants. The Valley of Trouble is its other understanding. Now David, recognizing that he needs the Lord's guidance, he needs the Lord's favour, I believe he paused. The words we read here when he asked God, I believe we're in prayer. He just didn't look heavenward and say, God, I need you. I believe he was on his face I believe he was humbled before Almighty God because he had such a great relationship with God. He said, should I go out to fight the Philistines? Will you hand them over to me? The Bible doesn't say how long he waited. The Bible does say that the Lord replied to him. That's relationship. That's walking together in the face of battle. That's not like David saying, oh, we've done it before, we can do it again. Come on, guys, let's go. The Bible set it up that David and his men went out to meet them. Then the Philistines arrived. And on seeing their numbers and seeing their strength and probably looking at his own numbers and strength, he thought to himself, I really do need the Lord in this. The Lord replied, yes, go ahead, I will hand them over to you. So David and his troops move up to Baal Perazim, defeated the Philistines there, the Bible says. My Bible says, David exclaimed, God did it. He didn't say to the team, we did it. He didn't say, Yahoo, the troops of Israel have won another battle. His words were, God did it. Yahweh did it. Goes on, it says, he used me. You know, friends, that's God's plan today, to use people just like us. To use people like us, just as he did in this passage. It says, he used me to burst through my enemies like a raging flood. Have you ever witnessed a raging flood? Have you ever been in those parts of the country where you're standing in the middle of a dry riverbed? And up in the hills somewhere, there's a big rainstorm. And you go, wow, it must be really wet up there. About 2 hours later, you hear this, sounds like running water. This little trickle comes through. And it gets wider. It gets deeper. It gets faster. And by the time you've had time to pull your tent out of the riverbed and put it up on the riverbank, this river's flowing through a gusher. I really believe that that's the description the Lord wants to show us tonight. He used me, David said, to burst through my enemies like a raging flood. So they named the place Baal Perazim, which means the Lord who bursts through. The Lord who bursts through. The Bible says that the Philistines abandoned their gods and they fled. But they returned again to raid the valley one more time. Everyone that with the memory of the first victory still fresh in their mind. David prays to the Lord again and listens for his strategy. Now here's a lesson for us all. What worked in yesterday's miracle may not be God's plan for today's miracle. What worked in your last breakthrough might not necessarily be what God wants to do in today's breakthrough. Amen? So let's read on in our passage, 1 Chronicles chapter 14. Give her a nudge, Sonia. Tell her what it is. Verses 14 to 17. Picking on you, sorry. Let's read from verse 13. But after a while, the Philistines returned and raided the valley again. And once again, David asked God what to do. Once again, David asked God what to do. Do not attack them straight on, God replied. Instead, circle around behind and attack them near the poplar trees. When you hear the sound, hear a sound like marching feet in the tops of the poplar trees, go out and attack. Say what, God? Say what, God? You want us to circle around, and when we hear the sound of marching feet in the tops of the trees, like whose army's going to be marching in the tops of the trees? Go out and attack. That will be the signal that God is moving ahead of you to strike down the Philistine army. Look at the difference in the breakthrough. Look at the difference of the strategy of God. Verse 16. So David did what God commanded. Hallelujah. Thank you for King David. And they struck down the Philistine army all the way from Gibeon to Giza. So David's fame spread everywhere. And the Lord caused all the nations to fear David. Notice that David did several crucial things here. Number one, he actively sought God's instructions. Actively. He didn't say, well, it worked last time. Let's try it again, boys. Let's go out to meet him. Come on, we did it last time. I'm watching the basketball semi-finals at the moment on television. I love my basketball. And what I've seen, the strategies change. And, you know, one team played another team three times within 10 days. The first two games, they lost soundly. Third game, they come out with a different strategy. Won. They're now headed into the grand final. Do you know, God's like that with us. If we'll listen to Him as a head coach, if I can call Him that, as the one who gives us guidance and strategy and direction, don't take for granted what worked yesterday, the same scripture that worked over healing, the same scripture that worked over our doubt and unbelief is going to work today. Ask the Lord. Amen? So number one, he actively sought God's instructions. Number two, he listened for what the Lord would say to him. Sometimes we're too busy asking God without spending enough time asking the Lord what he's saying or listening. And then I love this. Then he did what God commanded. Sounds a good idea, God, but I'm not sure it's going to work. Let me try this. You ever been there? And you go, uh-oh, got that wrong. Amen? None of us make mistakes, of course. It's a good thing that David was listening. Think about God's strategy this time. It was a very different response. I can say tonight that the Lord rarely does the same thing twice. And I believe it's so crucial to receive his instructions before we engage the enemy. Seek the Lord while he is near. Call upon him. That's what the scripture says, doesn't it? That's right. Seek the Lord while he is near. Again, it's talking about relationships. Amen? So can I say tonight that if you need a breakthrough today, if you're looking for a breakthrough tomorrow, make sure to ask the Lord for his battle strategies. Friends, his strategies, his instructions may absolutely surprise you. But don't just assume you know what to do. He's God. His thoughts are higher than our thoughts. His ways are different to our ways. Hallelujah. Who would have thought about getting some mud and rubbing it into a blind man's eyes? I haven't tried it yet. Who would have thought that you could stand at a tomb of a dead man and say, Lazarus, come forth? Who would have thought that by touching the hem of a garment would make a woman with issues of blood totally restored and whole again? Who would have thought that men digging a hole through a roof and lowering their friend down at the feet of Jesus would walk home with him that day? You want a breakthrough, be prepared to fight. You want that breakthrough to go through, ask the Lord for strategies. Seek him every time you need a breakthrough. Then do this. Obey him immediately. Don't stop. Don't wait. Don't ask him the why question. Don't say to him, who me, God? You want me to do what? I believe we've disappointed the Lord so many times by questioning his role, his motive, his strategies, his ways. Be assured tonight that your Heavenly Father wants to bless you and give you his best. Amen? And as you wait upon him, he'll not only give you new strategies, but he will also give you new strength to carry out those strategies. Come with me to Isaiah 40. Book of Isaiah, chapter 40. Sometimes it takes strength to get through, amen? Sometimes you think you've got strength, and when he gives you the challenge, you go, hang on a minute, I need more. You know this. Amen? Isaiah 40, verse 31. That little word, but. Those who trust in the Lord will find new strength. The New Living Translation says. They will soar high on wings like eagles. They'll run and not grow weary. They'll walk and not faint. You see, there's always an and with God. There's always an also. He just doesn't give us the barest of minimum to get us through. He gives us that plus. I spoke some time ago about with Jesus, you always get more than what you came for. That's the God of love. That's the God of power. That's the God of great resources. You know, God longs for you to walk in victory. He longs for you to know that great joy that comes in victory. But friends, don't get discouraged. Don't get discouraged if there's a difficult battle coming on. Don't get discouraged if your breakthrough hasn't come and you're still fighting for it. Seek the Lord. Because he's the Lord of breakthroughs. Obey his instructions. Friends, your valley of trouble can become the very place that you have a fresh encounter with the one who always leads us in triumph. 2 Corinthians 2 and verse 14. He always leads us in triumph. Where is he? He's in the lead. He's gone before us. He's fought the battle for you. He wants you to share in the victory. Amen? What often we want God to fight the battles and us not to be involved. We sit on the sidelines and go, go God. Go God. Go God. I'm not going to be a cheerleader. We're spectators. God wants us to be participators in the victory. Amen? I just had this picture this afternoon of us sitting up on the sidelines, full armor of God on, watching God fight the battle. We've got the full armor. We haven't even stood up to cheer and we're just sitting there enjoying it. And at the finish of the match, we go, yay, we won. Ever heard that battle cry? We won. I've done nothing all day but sit on the sidelines. But we won. God's plan is that he always leads us in triumph. Please don't despair if the victory doesn't come right away. Don't despair. Don't get anxious. Hebrews 12 and verse 3 says this. Jesus, who endured such opposition from sinners so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. Hebrews 12 and verse 3. Jesus, who endured such opposition from sinners so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. Whatever trials you're going through, whatever you're going to face, remember that it was Jesus on the cross on your behalf. It's also crucial not to give up if you encounter failures along the way. You think about history, the amount of technological breakthroughs that resulted in failure after failure after failure. Repeated failures. Thomas Edison experimented over 10,000 times to invent the electric light bulb. 10,000 times. Not just give it a go if it doesn't work in the bin. And the Wright brothers learning to fly, they knew they could fly. And they went from like a minute 25 seconds in their first flight to longer and longer and longer. You know, the naysayers would say, if man were meant to fly, they would be born with wings. God is the God of breakthrough. God's the God of innovation, the God of creation. And he gives us creative ideas for breakthroughs. Friends, if you're struggling to shake off memories of your past failures, what does God's word say about that? Proverbs 24 and 16. You see, I know this word has got an answer for everything. You think I'm Mr. Smarty Pants? I am not. This word outdoes Google. Amen? Proverbs 24 and verse 16 says, though the righteous may fall seven times, yet will they arise. Who's it talking about? You and me. Not talking about just Joe Average. It says, though the righteous, you and I are the righteous of God, the righteousness of God, even though we fall seven times, what if I fall over eight? Rise again. Amen? No matter what, no matter how far, no matter how often, friends, you may have fallen, the Lord of the breakthrough will lift you up and he'll give you victory. Dwight L. Moody, his quote. He says, God never made a promise that was too good to be true. God never made a promise that was too good to be true. To be true, sorry. The ultimate breakthrough comes, I believe, when you repent of your old ways and ask God to give you a new life in Christ. Maybe other areas you need breakthrough in, perhaps health, perhaps finance, perhaps relationships, perhaps peace of mind, whatever. But friends, I believe tonight it's crucial that you first ask for God's forgiveness and make sure you are living an obedient relationship with him. You know, when Peter came down from the upper room on the day of Pentecost, he concluded his message with this. And it was a message to appeal for people to turn away from their sins and to make sure they had a firm foundation for their new life. This is his words. Acts chapter 2 and verse 38. Repent. And each of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. And you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Repent, be baptized, and receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. You want to have a breakthrough in your life? Follow Peter's instruction. Repent. You may be already in Christ. There may be areas in your life that the Holy Spirit's been trying to redirect you on and recorrect you on, give you a new purpose for living. You're desperately crying out for a breakthrough. You're saying, Lord, Lord, you're the Lord of the breakthrough. Give me my breakthrough. You might be simply saying to you, repent. Turn away from that style of living, that thing you're involved in. Perhaps you've been baptized, but perhaps you need to be rebaptized. And we're talking about a baptismal service in the next few weeks. Perhaps you've never received or be on the receiving end of the gift of the Holy Spirit. Perhaps it's those three things that are holding you back. Perhaps it's two out of the three. Perhaps it's only one out of the three. David understood in our opening scripture what it meant to seek the Lord. To be so close to him that when you talk to him, you know you're going to get an answer. And when you get that answer, you're not going to question whether it's the Lord or not. You're going to know that you know that you know that's the Lord. You're going to answer him with a quick response and a correct response by doing what he says. Amen? Embrace the Lord of breakthrough. Amen?